And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray. And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Right, we have many things to show the audience here today. The audience seated in the studio. Here is a picture of the Boyd twins. You remember, we mentioned the Boyd twins a few days ago.
Yeah, would you like me to hold it up? I'm taller than you. I don't think they'll all see it if you hold it.
Okay, then if you would stretch.
Right. There it is.
Hey, not bad. Not bad.
We got a letter from the
Scott Sportsman out there at WBBN, our wonderful CBS station in Chicago, and he says that that program, W Pleasure, which precedes us by a few minutes, it comes from Chicago. And these boys, sisters went to Indiana, I think, or they came from it. No, they went to Indiana University, and they're from Hammond, Indiana.
Well, it's very nice to have them a part of this package here.
Definitely want to thank Fred Gage, who has a this jockey show on WBBM. He's a real country bumpkin, I guess, for all the nice mentions he gives us. I guess it's a
very nice thing about it.
The pictures of the boys?
Yeah.
Boy, all right. Woo! Okay. Now you can hear that AC. And now let's get to... No, she hasn't either, sir.
Oh.
Here's our first feature of the evening.
Dramatized incidents about people whose lives have been touched by others more elegant and well-known than these are.
Gosh, honey, I'll be glad when we finish up these dishes, though I can sit down and relax.
Well, it'll only be a few more minutes.
Say, Irene, who do you think I saw on Sixth Avenue today?
Who?
Charlton Heston.
You saw Charlton Heston in...
If I knew he was going to drop a dish, I wouldn't have mentioned it. Anyhow, you know what he told me?
You talked to Charlton Heston in person?
Well, he asked me for a light.
He asked you for a light? Sandy Harrison, husband of me, Irene Harrison.
Well, the whole thing was he didn't have any matches, and I was...
Sandy, what was the first word Charlton Heston said to you? Now, it's important that you get it right.
Well, see, as I remember, first word he said was hello.
Who's that even phrase? Isn't it typical of a man like that, though, to meet a person for the first time and simply say, hello?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyhow, as I was talking to him, Walter Pidgeon happened to pass by.
Walter Pidgeon?
That's right. And Charlton stopped him and introduced him to me.
Well, what?
And then once the ice was broken, they turned out to be swell guys. We stood around and talked about movie stars we all enjoyed, like Irene Dunne, Howard Keel, Catherine Grayson, Spencer Tracy, Betty Davis, Terry Cooper, Rockford. Hey, and you know what else happened, honey?
Well, what more could happen to a person in their whole life?
Well, anyhow, when I gave Charlton Heston a light, he offered me a cigarette, so I took it. Well, I lit the cigarette, and I smoked it all the way down. And then just as I was about to throw it away, I thought of you and how you might like it.
Sandy. Did you bring home as a souvenir the cigarette butt, which was once full size, but not anymore, because you smoked it? Sandy, do you have the cigarette butt that Charlton Heston gave you when it was cold?
Yeah, here it is. Again, Celebrity Chasers takes its place.
How many sound effects department?
Yes.
want to throw a call on the show, but I am going to throw a bill for $40.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, I mean, when you know all those prepare a script to call for so much destruction as that.
I think he had one left.
Looking for a fat lip. Is that
the
bill,
though? Yes. If we take this all up after the closing.
We've been creeping the runway for him for a long time. I think this will do it.
Well, I tell you, this we can discuss later if you don't mind. He's very nervous today for some reason, I noticed. You know who's back, Ray?
Oh.
Bill Rizzuto.
Bill Rizzuto. Well, where's he been anyway?
Well, I guess where all ex-baseball players go for the football season.
Where is that?
Anyway, he's back on CBS Radio's Sports Time.
You know, how come they gave us only 5 nights a week, and Sports Time gets every night but Sunday?
No, unless there isn't. Something technical, I guess.
People like to laugh 6 nights a week.
Maybe 7.
But from the end of Friday to Monday, people crack their knuckles, bite their nails, and sit on their hands and wait for us to come back.
Well, of course, not all of that at the same time. You can't sit on your hands and bite your nails very well.
Thank you, Dean. No, I meant in rotation. What did you want to say about Total Zero?
Just as if you knew he's back on Sports Time, 6 nights a week on CBS Radio.
Well, I sure know that now, don't I?
You know, you've probably seen newspaper pictures of the guest we have with us this evening. He's Miss Sally Kroll of 1213 Knollburn Place in Staten Island, New York. Hello, Miss Kroll.
How do you do?
And, Miss Kroll, I wonder if you'd hold up the payroll check issued you by the bank where you work as a teller, would you?
All right. There.
Oh, I don't know why you folks in the audience are reacting. You can't possibly read the amount from down there. Miss Cole, will you tell the audience how much the check is for?
Well, this check is made out to me, Miss Sally Kroll, 1213.
No. Well, just the amount, Miss Cole.
Well, the check is made out to me in the amount of $65,000,012.
Well, that's better. Now, that's your weekly salary check, right, Miss Kroll?
Well, yes, it's my weekly salary check, all right, but I don't kid myself that I'm worth $65,012,012 a week.
Well, what is your regular salary? Can you tell us that?
Take-home pay is $65.12. You see, the mistake was made in the payroll department.
By whom?
By Ernest Cleve. He works the automatic check machine and payroll, and he made a mistake and added a lot of extra zeros to my weekly paycheck.
And I believe, Miss Cole, that you have every right to cash that check, even though a mistake was made.
I can cash this check any old time I want to, but I'm having more fun showing it around, so I'm going to hold on to it for a while.
Well, what does Ernest Cleve, the man who made a mistake about the amount of the check, have to say about all this?
Well, he called me last night, told me he felt like a real sap, and he asked me to do him a favor and tear up the check.
Well, are you going to, Miss Cole?
Well, I'd like to help him out, but I can't throw away $65 million just like that. Well, it's just not economical.
Well, what will bank do? Deduct the money from Mr. Cleve's salary because of the mistake he made?
Yes, they're going to deduct $5 a week from his salary.
Uh-huh. See, that way the payment will take Mr. Cleve 13 million weeks to square up the indebtedness to the bank. That's quite a long time, isn't it?
Well, that did look out. Maybe he'll pay a little more attention to what he's doing after this.
How about the bank? What's their attitude been about all this, Miss Cole?
Well, I think they'd like me to tear up the check, too, Mr. Elliott.
Elliott. Have they been nicer to you at the bank recently?
May I call you Elliott, then?
Mr. Elliott, would you call
him? Oh. They let me smoke behind the teller's cage now.
Uh-huh.
They told me it was okay for me to wear an evening gown on the job.
I see. And you think the reason that they're being so nice to you at the bank may have something to do with the $65 million
check? Well, I'm no fool. I know there's a reason why they're being so nice to me at the bank lately. Personally, I believe the reason is because the bank's assets total only $64 million.
So if you wanted to be a mean person and cash the check, you could get the bank into real trouble.
Right, $1 million worth.
Could you hold that? Would you hold up the check once more for our audience?
All right.
Take a good look at it, folks. Probably more money than most of you earn in 10 years. And thank you again for being with us, Miss Cole. Go back to your seat.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Webb.
How's it going, McClure?
Very good.
Fine. The Dean is about to come through the swinging doors.
Dean Arthur Armstead of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station.
That's right.
Right at this moment, coming through.
Hello,
Dean. Head of Bob and Ray Agriculture Department. And a regular in the park. Dean, how's the media treating you so far?
Well, I've had work from the school of the bomb. I've got 3 hours from my long career.
Mm-hmm.
See, I just returned from a hay and seed seminar.
Yes.
Up in Beloit, Wisconsin.
A hay and seed seminar. What do they... Hay and seed. What do they, think up with a thing like that?
We talk about hay and seed for animals and how to grow hay, different types of hay.
Anything new in that line?
Well, rather than sit here in the grower farm, I had the speech that I made. I was the keynote speaker at the seminar. And I have a tape here of my...
Oh, great. You mean we'll be able to hear in part at least what you said to all the hay and seed fans?
Right. If we go to Phil... he'd play for us.
All right, Cyril, would you send that tape for us, please?
Just a minute. Let me introduce you, Dean. It's a great pleasure to present here at Beloit for all of you members of the Hay and Seed Seminar, the director of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station, Mr. Dean Arthur Armstead. Mr. Armstead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Welcome to the Hay and Seed Seminar. I'm certainly the voice to remind you all that no matter what weapons of life would be, we're going to have hay and we're going to have plenty of freedom there. Here, I would like to show you a draft that I prepared with some white rod wimpin, showing what has happened in the last system in the wind proximity through grass. In the room of the itself, of the very hot plant from it, the plant is paired upon and turned to the area. Quick shot, pulling him up the hit.
All right, Cyril, I think you can cut the tape out now. Sorry, we had to cut that, Dean. I understand all of your farm fans up there can hear this tape played on your own radio shows, on the early morning show.
That's why I'm going to be using it. Fortunately, I think we can detect a little hum there.
There was a little hum. The quality was rather poor.
Unfortunately, I think I have one of those old microphones, a whole kind of microphone.
Old microphone, yeah.
I think I'll go along with the city if they will to help me out.
Who?
Joe
Andre, yes.
And there was the, I don't know what happened, but I think it was probably different current.
Well, it might have been current or big hall or nothing. But I'm sure that the speech went over well, and I want to thank you for dropping by here today.
We look forward to the call
of the Rogers.
The
last
big sound. Nothing at all. Dean Arthur Armstead of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station, our guest here today, representing Bob and Ray.
How much time do we have left here, ladies and gentlemen?
Just about a minute, I think, a little less.
Oh?
To wrap things up, so to speak. What do we have on tap for tomorrow? You going to sing The Wayward Wind?
Oh, no, I wanted to talk about the day is getting longer.
You
see, the sun has started north in its apparent journey northward.
Northward, yeah.
And come March 20th, we'll have our vernal
equinox. Yeah.
From then on, of course, it will be spring. It's something to look forward to, and I hope you all enjoy it very much.
Well, I know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning the way I do it, I really notice it, because the days just start to be daylight at that time, and then come the spring, and
in daylight saving, and then you have to move your clock back.
Well, we'll be back to say so long in just 10 seconds. Hey, I'm ready.
Are you?
Yeah. That's so long.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to ride if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your phone.
This is the CBS Radio Network.